Praise God. Once again, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome all for the 2 o'clock service on the first Sunday of this month, the month of October. Thank you so much for being here and worshiping with us in person, to hear the word of God, to receive prayer, to sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. We're sorry that we're starting a little bit later. Everyone had a testimony here today, it seems like, right? For the honor and glory of God, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Hearing what the Lord does in our lives and the lives of the loved ones. But without any further ado, I'd like to introduce this afternoon's speaker. And that would be our own Sister Angela Burkhart. Woman of God.
Father, we thank you today for this beautiful day. We worship you and praise you, give you all the glory and praise and honor. And Lord, I yield to the Holy Spirit as this message is delivered in Jesus' name. So the message today that I'm going to be talking about is the angels of the living God of his supernatural kingdom. In Daniel 6, verse 26, 27, it says, "For he is a living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one that which will not be destroyed, and his dominion is forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and earth." Now look at that last sentence. It says, perform signs and wonders in heavens and earth. In the Lord's Prayer, he says we should be praying on earth as it is in heaven, signs and wonders. As ambassador for Christ, we rule from a place of victory, from the authority that was delegated to us from Jesus. He already won the victory for us, and we have the right to ask for angelic assistance in our journey, in our what we're doing for the kingdom of God. And the reason that the pastor was talking this morning about that you need to humble yourself, and the reason is because in Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and darkness of this world. So you cannot wrestle and try to win your victory and you run your race on your own. You need to humble yourself and tell God, I need you. I need you to help me. And he's got all kind of weapons. The first thing he tells you to do is put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the belt of truth. And one of the weapons that he has available to you is his angels. He's a spirit. He has a supernatural kingdom. We're here temporarily in the earth realm. And he tells you that this earth is only temporarily. His kingdom is in the spirit. So the angels have a significant role to play in the kingdom of God. You have a divine right to have the ministry of angels for your own life. In the Bible, in Genesis 28, verse 2, it says, Jacob had a dream. In this dream, he saw a stairway that was connected from heaven going up, from earth going up to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending, going up and descending on this stairway. Now, Jesus explains what this stairway is. In John 1, verse 51, Jesus says, "Then he said, I will tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down upon the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." So in that scripture, it's telling you that Jesus is the stairway between heaven and the earth, and the angels are going up and down, hearkening to his word. And how do we know that? Because in Psalms 103, verse 20, I don't know if I gave that scripture, but I'm going to read it for you. It says, the Lord has given his angels charge over you. And it's for those who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, we're not to worship the angels, and I'm not talking about fallen angels. So now in Hebrews 1, verse 14, we'll say, well, what are the angels? It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall receive salvation? So, because we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we're a child of the living God, we have access to these angels' ministry on our behalf because Jesus Christ delegated us the authority and we're his ambassadors in the earth realm and we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Father who desires to send the angels to assist us. Like I said again, we're not to worship the angels. In Revelation 19:10, one of the disciples, an angel appeared to him, and he bowed down and started to worship the angel. And the angel said, don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant of the brethren that had the testimony of Jesus, and I worship God. So he's telling you, I represent Jesus. I come with his testimony. So, so some of the things about angels, they come in different ranks, just like the military. I'm from a military family, and they come in different ranks. Some examples that the Bible gives is there's cherubim, there's seraphims, there's even archangels. We even know the names of some of them. One is called Michael, which means warrior for God. I named my son after that because of that meaning. And he represents the army of the angels. And you've got Gabriel, a messenger. That's just some of the examples. Now, in Revelation 5, verse 11, it says there are thousands upon thousands of angels right now in heaven who are worshiping, praising the Lord right now in heaven while we're here in the earth realm representing Jesus. They're up there worshiping. And the strength of the angel is strong. It says in Revelation 20, 1, 2, 3, it only takes upon one angel to bound up Satan and throw him in the bottomless pit. Only one from all those thousands and thousands. So it shows you the strength of the angels. So I'm going to give you some examples of encounters between angels and man from the Bible. An angel told Mary she was going to bear Jesus. An angel tells the shepherds Jesus is going to be born. Lot, when Sodom and Gomorrah, am I saying that right, was going to be destroyed, an angel was sent to give them the warning to tell them to get out. Angel was strengthened to Jesus. After Jesus was tempted by the enemy in the desert, angels were sent afterwards to strengthen him. Angel was helped Paul, or I'm sorry, Peter, escape out of jail. The angel spoke to a woman, the woman that were going to anoint the body at the tomb. They also rolled away the stone that was covering Jesus' grave. In John 5, verse 6, we hear about an angel that would come and trouble the waters. And if you came during a certain season when that angel came to trouble the waters, and you get into that pool, you will be healed. But there was a man that actually, nobody would help him get in that water. And he, no matter how many times he tried, when the angel come, he had to wait till the angel come to trouble the water. He has actually had a personal encounter with the King of Kings and got his healings that way. Now, in Matthew 26, verse 53, it says, Jesus is getting ready to get arrested, and a servant who's with him cuts off the ear of the high priest. And Jesus says, thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will give him more than 12 legions of angels to rescue him out of that situation. Notice what he says. The action. Pray. Who is he praying to? He's saying, pray to the Father. All I got to do is pray to the Father. Now, We are ambassadors of Christ. He has delegated his authority to us that we are representing him in the earth realm. So we can also pray and ask for assistance as ambassadors of Christ for angel assistance in whatever we need, for whatever area that we need angelic assistance for. Psalms 91 verse 12 says, and he will command his angels to protect you wherever you go. So I'm going to give a personal example of myself using an angel of protection. I was leaving my mother's house, my parents' house, one day after seeing a Christian play. It was an evening play. And I was alone. I was driving alone. And as I was leaving her house, from the side street comes a pickup truck that comes up from behind me. I'm not thinking nothing of it. It's driving out of the neighborhood, get onto the main highway. And then I noticed that this driver is really driving almost like real close on my car. So I thought, okay, let me move over. I move over. He moves over. I move back. He moves back, and he's right on my tail. I speed up, he speeds up. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to take an exit. I take an exit, he takes the exit. Now, at this point, I'm trying to find my cell phone. I'm driving with one hand. I have a small old flip phone, and I'm trying to find it. It's buried somewhere down in my purse, and I can't find it, and this man's right on my tail, speeding. We're both speeding. So I decide in my mind, okay, I'm going to turn around, go back to my parents' house, get in, knock on the door and run, get in there, and ask for some help. I make a big U-turn. He makes a big U-turn, and there's nobody, and I'm thinking, where's all the cars? So I thought, oh my gosh. So then I remembered this story I saw on television about a story about angels, and this nurse had got off work late, and she had to walk past this particular man, and she felt uncomfortable walking past this man, so she said, Lord, cover me with your angels. So she walked past him, and the next day when she turned on the news, she saw that a woman was attacked. The woman that came from behind her, that came after her, was attacked by this man. And so she called the police and gave a description, and the police said, asked the man, they got the man, they asked him, why didn't you attack her? The man said, because I saw two men walking with her, one on each side. There were no men, he saw angels. So with this man, you know, riding up on my back, And I'm thinking, you know what, by the time I get to my parents' house, he's probably going to start, I'm going to run out of the car, he's probably going to get me in the lawn before I can even knock on the door for help. So I said, I cried out to God. I said, Lord, cover me, hide me from this person who's behind me. I'm thinking, intending to do me harm. As soon as I said it, a car comes out of nowhere, zooms up to my right. A car to the left zooms up from the left. And looks just like my car. And the guy's still behind me, I'm in the middle lane, and there's the two cars that look like my car, right and left. Here comes the exit, the car on the right takes the exit. The guy follows the car that takes the exit. The car that was on the left disappears. And I say, oh my gosh, I thank the Lord, and I went home safely. So that's an example where I cried out to the Lord, and I needed protection, I needed assistance. I needed angelic assistance, help against whatever this person was attempting to do. And an example, like I said before, of protection was when angels were sent to Lot to tell them to get out before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And I'll give you another example. I was in my house one day, and I was going up the stairs, and I had a dog, and the dog usually comes right by me, and this dog wasn't there. I looked down and the dog, and I was like, what are you doing? And the dog's standing there, and then all of a sudden I see a man standing in my foyer, not too far from my dog, looking at me, and I thought, oh my gosh. So now I'm waiting for the dog to attack. The dog's not doing anything. The dog's just standing there looking at me with the tongue wagging. And I'm like, are you going to do, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, and I'm thinking, okay, is this person going to say something? And then I noticed I looked at the person closely because fear is starting to come in me, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'm thinking, what am I going to do next? The man had long, it was about 20 years old, had long hair to his shoulders, curled up, had on a long jacket down to the floor, looked like a military type uniform, something I've not seen like in the earth realm. And then all of a sudden, his hand comes, a sword of light appears. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's an angel. It's an angel. But now, the Bible says that we are to test the spirits. So I'm sitting thinking, Holy Spirit, help me. I'm thinking in my mind, help me. I don't know if this is an angel from the kingdom of darkness, right? What's he doing in my house? So as soon as it came to my mind, it says, you know, in 1 John 4, it says, every spirit that denies Jesus has come in the flesh is not from God. So I'm getting ready to ask this angel, can you say Jesus Christ is the Son, right, and come in the flesh? But before I could ask, it just evaporated, disappeared in front of me. What do? I get carnal. I know I just saw a spiritual thing. I go to the phone to want to call 911, right? And I'm thinking, I'm dialing, and I think, wait a minute, what am I doing? Because I'm saying, what am I going to say? An angel popped up in my house. I didn't get a chance to test it. Spirit, I need you to tell me, need you to come and tell me, was it a good angel or a bad angel, right? And I'm like, I can't do this. This is a spiritual thing. So I hung up the phone. I didn't go through with that phone call. And I called one of my friends, and I was praying with some friends of mine. We were interceding for a lot of people. And so she said that same angel, she just got a call, had popped up in somebody's house before mine. And so they didn't understand what it was. And I don't know why I didn't ask the Holy Spirit or God at that time. I was just too shocked because it looked like a human, physical person, not with wings or anything, just, you know, popping up and evaporating from my eyes. And so I came to church that Sunday, and I go to Pastor Paul, and I tell him, and this is what he says to me. He said, the Lord just told me that, didn't you a month ago when you were praying with these women, because you're interceding for so many people, ask for protection, and you also ask for protection for them? And I said, yes. And he said, well, the Lord opened your spiritual eyes so that you can see your angel of protection is there. So I said, oh, my gosh. So that was my experience of actually seeing a real angel. Physically looks like a human, the one I saw. And so then I thought about that Bible story in 2 Kings 6:17, where Elijah and the servant were surrounded by the enemy's armies. And the servant says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, right? Because I think there was an order on to have Elijah killed. And so Elijah, notice what he does, same thing Jesus did. He said, Lord, I pray that his eyes be open, that he may see. So the veil that was on his physical eyes, the Lord removed the veil that's on the physical eyes so he could see in the spirit. And when he saw in the spirit, all of a sudden he sees angels, the army host of angels of God, all surrounding the enemy's army, more than them. There's more than with us than there is with them, and chariots of fire. So there's an example where the veils were taken off someone in the Bible's eyes, the veils were taken off of my eyes in that situation for me to see that particular the angel. And I will give you one more example. This was one that the Lord, I actually forgot about, but the Lord wanted me to say it. When I was a teenager, I was taking a shortcut from one of my friend's house from one court to another, and there's a little bit of woods area. So I was taking a shortcut there. I was in middle school, and I'm just walking down it along, you're not thinking anything, and all of a sudden I hear somebody say, Angela. It's a man's voice, a voice I don't know. So I turn around, and when I turned around, there's somebody I know from school hiding under a bush, and he doesn't see that I see him, and he's telling another person, cut her off from the front. So I look and I see that person, and I realize what they're getting ready to do. So I ran out of those, got out of that situation. And the next week, here comes my mother, and she says to me, I don't want you to take that shortcut through that woods, because somebody got attacked today in that woods. And so I thought, well, that voice must have been a protection angel that called my name out, opened my spiritual ear so I could hear, because that's what made me turn around, because I was oblivious that they were even back there trying to commit some kind of harm. And of course, I got in trouble by my mother for not telling her that had happened, because I was a young teenager, she said, because that could have prevented somebody else, you know, if you had mentioned this situation, and so my mother maybe give up the names of two that I recognize, and she called the police in that situation. So what I want to say is that we are, as ambassadors of Christ, We can pray for angelic assistance for our needs in the journey in life. It's one of God's, again, like I said, one of God's weapons against the enemy. God is on your side. He's already won the victory for you at the cross. In Daniel, the story of Daniel, we find out there's a spiritual battle going on. We're actually in a spiritual battle. And where we find this out is when he is praying, he needs the angel of wisdom. He needs wisdom to answer, I think, to interpret a dream, Daniel, or if I got it wrong, but he needed wisdom. And he starts to pray. The angel got dispatched right away. We find that out, got dispatched right away. But this angel was hindered in the second heaven by the prince of Persia. But Daniel doesn't know that. So Daniel continues to pray and pray until he sees this breakthrough. When the angel appears, the angel said, "I was dispatched the very first day." However, the prince of Persia hindered him getting through, so that angel needed assistance from another angel. So that's telling us that God tells us we have to fight the good fight of faith. So that tells us that we are in a spiritual battle. We need angelic assistance, and we need to be a perseverance in our prayers. Just because you don't see it right away. Daniel didn't see it right away, but he kept praying and praying and praying, and that is his prayers coming through that got that angel through to give him the answer that he needed. So we can pray for, like, if you need protection in a certain area, you can pray that, "Lord, dispatch an angel protection on your behalf." If you need restoration in certain areas, you can pray that the Lord dispatch an angel of restoration for you. If you need favor in a certain area, you can pray that the Lord dispatch the angel of favor. If you need direction, you can ask that the Lord dispatch an angel of wisdom to you. And they only hearken to the word of God, and they're doing on the authority of Jesus. They're doing his assignment, and the angel will always point you back to Jesus. Never to them. Now, in Hebrews 13, verse 2, it says, that's why it tells you to be nice to people. I was thinking about Dottie's testimony. Because it says, you may be entertaining angels and be unaware, because they can look just like a human to you, and you don't know. And let me give you an example from the Bible. Lot, when those angels came to warn him and his family that Sodom and Gomorrah was getting ready to be destroyed, he knew they were angels. He had the discernment, and he knew they were angels. But now this people from that city, they saw the two men too, but they didn't see angels. They didn't have discernment. They saw two men, and he hides them Lot hides them in the house, and they try to bang the door down to try to get these two men, because they saw mere men. And so that shows you the difference of where someone, if you don't have discernment to know between an angel and not. And that's why it says some of you have entertained angels that you may not be aware of, because they can look just like a physical flesh talking to you, just like I saw the one in my house. Not all of them have showing up with wings to say, "Hi, I'm an angel to you." And so that's why I was thinking about Dottie's testimony. Because it says in there to be nice to people, because you don't know if you're entertaining an angel. So yeah. So I wanted to also say that when I was sitting back there, right where Wendy is sitting, one time, I saw a huge angel fly past the window over here, and I thought I was seeing things. Until this teenager that was sitting in front of me says, "Mom, Mom, I just saw an angel fly back past this window," right? And the mom says, "Shh, the preacher's talking, shh," right? So she tries to get her mother's attention again. So she starts describing what she saw. This was a huge angel. This was large, what I saw. And then so she's describing the angel. And the mom goes, "Shh, shh," again, right? The preacher's talking. So I leaned up and I said, "I saw that angel too." She's correct. I'm confirming what she saw. I don't know what angel that was. That could be the angel that's assigned to this church. But I saw it was huge. So what I'm saying to you is you need to put the kingdom of God first. And when you put the kingdom of God first, he is a supernatural kingdom. So you need to be more heavenly minded than earthly minded. If you're, when you become more focused on heaven minded, then you will experience, you know, we can experience some of these angelic assistance for help that you need and to assist you. You can ask them to, there was sometimes I got prayer saying, can you, somebody need a job. So I would pray to the Lord, say, Lord, can you dispatch an angel of employment? Next thing I know, they got a job. They'll tell me, say, hey, I got a job. So these are just some examples. They can fight your battles for you. You can ask them to release, because the battle's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. So you're not so I'm saying that you're not alone. You should humble yourself. You're not to fight these battles. You're not supposed to be fighting in the ground level with the enemy, because God has set you higher. So you have to remember your authority in Christ. And remember that you are royalty. You are set apart for God. And so I wanted to end this with Hebrews 12, verse 1. You have a cloud of witnesses watching you as you run your race. They are cheering you on. You have angels waiting for you to ask the Father to dispatch them to help you in certain whatever situation you need. They're just waiting for you to ask the Father. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for the word. I thank you, Lord, for your ministry of your angels. I thank you, Lord, that the people who are here and the people online who are watching, Lord, if they need protection, I ask that you dispatch their angel protection to them now in Jesus' name. If they're having financial issues, Lord, I ask that you dispatch the angel prosperity to them right now in Jesus' name. If they need restoration in any area of their lives, Lord, I ask that you dispatch their angel of restoration to them right now in Jesus' name. If they need guidance, Lord, I ask that you dispatch the angel of wisdom to give them guidance in any areas that they need in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, those that desire to see, Lord, that I ask that you open their spiritual eyes so that they may see. And Lord, those who cannot hear you, I ask that you open their spiritual ears so they can hear your guidance, Lord. We acknowledge you, Lord, in all our ways. And Lord, we thank you that you direct our path. And we just worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. That was a good message. I enjoyed that. That reminds me, I used to go out to BWI Airport years ago. That was before Uber came along. Now they don't have any kind of law. Anybody can go out there and pick up people. But they took my car one time, took my tags off. But what I did from that point on, I said, Lord, cover me when I go to this airport. And you know what? I never had another problem. So you have to pray. I agree with you 100%. It's good. That was a good message. I enjoyed that. Okay, let's receive our offerings and tithes, please. Please stretch your hands towards this basket. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for all the tithe and the offering. We ask you, Lord, to multiply those tithes, Lord. We ask you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into our bosom. We thank you, Lord, and we bless your name. Amen.